This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This shit ain't nothing to me, man.
This is Boxing Before Dark.
Boxing.
Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang.
Before.
Boxing Before Dark.
This is Boxing Before Dark.
All right, let's fucking boogie.
Yeah.
Let me start the timer. Holy shit. Boxing Before Dark. Welcome to 2026. It's going to be a big year. I just have this feeling. It's going to be another excellent year of boxing.
They're already lining up some really good fights.
Yes.
I'm excited.
News. Fucking not a lot of news. Kakachi versus Jazza Dickens. I know the masses have been waiting to hear news about this.
Yeah, so exciting.
March 14th. So that's fun.
I really hope Kakachi kind of just goes away. I don't like him. He's so dirty, Leo.
Yeah, I know. He did Cordina dirty, and I lost a lot of respect.
Yeah, just in general, he fights very dirty. I'm not a fan.
At the same time, is Jazza Dickens?
It probably isn't the guy to do it.
No.
But maybe. Jazz is probably used to getting headbutted and stuff.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, that's how a lot of those British guys fight, isn't it?
Yes, they do lead with their heads quite a bit.
Maybe he's the one who can avoid it.
Or if they go head to head, let's see who comes out the victor.
Probably Kakachi.
Yeah. Oh well, we'll see how this card shapes out. It does, like, if that's the headline, like, that's a...
It's not a exciting headline.
No, it's gonna be rough to watch.
Yeah, probably will complain about paying for that one if these guys are headlining.
The IBF is trying to push Canelo versus Ausley's Iglesias. So that's pretty fun.
Do you think Canelo will take that one?
No, I don't.
I don't either. I think Iglesias is too good.
I think he knows he's just past his peak.
Just I don't enough. Know about just.
Well, he's enough.
On his way down, yeah.
He's enough past his peak that he's self-aware that he's past his peak.
I think he's been self-aware for a little while, and that's why he's been handpicking people.
Yeah, Iglesias is not the one you want to handpick.
No, no. That would be a passing of the torch in a big way.
I don't expect he would want to pass the torch to a Cuban.
No, I'm just saying if that fight happens, that's it what it's going to be.
If he was going to give a shine to anyone, he would have done it with Munguia.
Yeah, but Munguia just isn't good enough.
No, he's not. It's unfortunate. Even he's worse now that he's training with Reynoso.
Which is weird.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, this fight's not going to happen. The IBF can push it all they want. Canelo's not
going to. Canelo will drop the belt. He's dropped that belt before, hasn't he?
This is for a vacant belt.
Oh, right. He doesn't have any belts.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
Crawford retired, dropped them all.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally forgot the Crawford fight even happened.
It's early.
It's early on the holidays.
Fucking Canelo's not going to do this. The IBF, you can just start looking for someone else, for real.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on, let me see who they have in their rankings.
Well, and I prefer if they look for someone else versus Iglesias than
Absolutely.
Someone else versus Canelo.
Yes, 100%. But you know how they are with
money.
Yeah,
I know.
Iglesias is the number one rated. Second rated is Empty. 3, 4, 5 is Canelo, Munguia, and Callum Simpson.
Who the fuck is Callum Simpson?
We talk about him a lot, but mostly just in passing. We just kind of.
I just need a picture. No, that didn't help.
And then number 6 is Hamza Shiraz.
Iglesias versus Shiraz would be cool, but Shiraz is busy, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yeah. He's fighting Pacheco for the WBO. And then after that, it's a bunch of nobodies.
It's a bunch of Frenchmen. Well, 2 Frenchmen.
That's a lot more Frenchmen than usual.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Iglesias does Munguia bad.
Yes.
He probably beats Callum Simpson pretty badly as well. He beats probably most of these guys pretty badly.
Yeah.
Beck. Iglesias beats Beck, but that might be fun. You got the one punch potential.
Oh, yeah, Beck the Bully.
He's way down at the bottom, though.
Yeah, he's 14th, so that's not going to fly for a vacant fight.
No, but the rankings annoy me so much because Bektimir is number 1 with the WBA. Which means nothing, but
Resendiz probably not going to fight him. He got elevated. I've been talking about him even once Crawford retired. I was talking about him as the full champion anyway, but it's official now. So,
right,
there's that.
You think? Just moving slightly to the right on my screen here. Do you think Canelo would fight Mbili?
Yes, I do, actually.
I kind of do, too.
I think Lester Martinez demonstrated how to tame the beast.
Well, and I think Canelo's still got a chin, and Mbili's not a mover. So I think it would be Canelo's best chance at another belt. Personally.
Yeah, yeah. That would be for WBC?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Mbili's the interim and Canelo's the number one ranked.
Wouldn't be a bad fight for the full title.
Yeah. I could see Canelo using that as an excuse to pass on Iglesias. But then in their rankings, it would be Munguia. So, I mean, I could see Munguia taking that fight, but I could see Munguia getting his ass beat.
Yeah, Diet Canelo. It's not gonna... I don't think that'll have as good a flair as the actual Canelo would.
Yeah.
Interesting situation, though. Terence Crawford, fucking based for dropping all the belts.
Yeah, not holding up the entire division like Canelo has for years.
Yeah. Now we have a lot of fun matchups on the fucking horizon, so that's good.
Yeah. If Canelo does want to do a passing of the torch, he's number one and Pacheco's number two for the vacant WBO.
He's number one?
But I don't... Canelo is, yep.
Hmm.
But I don't know if Canelo's ready to cash out yet.
I don't think he would want to pass the torch. Or he would allow
that
to
happen. No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I see Canelo and Bealy next for Canelo. And I think Saudi will pay for that on their deals as well after Bealy had such a good showing.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my prediction for the next Canelo fight. And the Iglesias fight, I guess they move on to Munguia or Callum Simpson.
Yeah, I expect of those, if... depends on who wants to put it on and where... I don't know where Munguia is aligned, like, promotionally. Because Iglesias is with Eye of the Tiger. But...
Eye of the Tiger is so shit.
Right. He can be pulled out by anybody for the right price.
Yeah. I don't know who Munguia is with either. Yeah. I don't follow this stuff very much.
That wouldn't be bad if they were gonna do a Canelo and Bealy headline, Munguia versus Iglesias wouldn't be bad on the undercard for that.
Okay, so according to AI, because I'm too lazy to really look, after Munguia left Golden Boy, he signed with Zamfir and has a co-promotional deal with Top Rank.
And Top Rank don't have any leverage right now, being without a network.
Right, so Top Rank and Eye of the Tiger would have to kind of find somebody.
They need to find daddy.
Mutually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need mom and dad to pay for it.
And according to Ring Magazine, Iglesias' promoter is calling for Munguia, not Crawford, so.
Canelo, you mean?
Sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Too many words on my screen while I'm talking.
Oof. Well, that's a good call. Good shout from Iglesias. Munguia is definitely more likely to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good move. Speaking of making moves, Bam is a promotional free agent.
Where... I mean, people have to be lining up to get him, right?
I would imagine. He's like the star of the little guys right now, in a way, of course, but like as far as like Western fighters are concerned, he's like the star of the little guys.
Yeah. I mean, do you think he'd sign with Golden Boy?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
Golden Boy has fallen off hard.
Which kind of leaves Matchroom and...
Re-sign with Matchroom.
Kingsbury. Well, he was kind of co-promoted with Ohashi, wasn't he? Bam?
Yes, he is. I think he's signed with Taken.
Okay, I had the wrong one.
Yeah, he is...
Because Taken's Honda, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they signed a lot of little guys.
I mean, I don't think it's a bad move to re-sign with the Japanese promoter. They're getting them big fights anyways.
Yeah.
It's not like he's not getting on TV in America and stuff.
Only fight I want for Bam right now is Willy Baldo.
Yeah.
I expect that's the only one on Bam's radar as well. But
who's Willie Baldo with?
I'm not sure who he's with. He's bound to his mandatory is Andrew Maloney right now.
Right.
So he's got to settle that.
Willie Baldo's with some company I've never heard of. Boxstars Promotions?
Never heard of it.
But it's spelt funny. And they got Manny Pacquiao listed as a co-promoter. Like MP Promotions.
Hmm. Interesting.
And Matchroom was involved in his last promotion. So who the fuck knows, I guess? Anyways, I don't know. I think Bam can sign with whoever the fuck he wants. And I don't know enough about promotion to say who's his best choice. But co-promoting with the Japanese guys that have ins with all the small fighters doesn't seem like a bad move to me.
Yeah, I think the free agency is that he's not with Matchroom anymore. Almost said top right there. But yeah, he's not with Matchroom. I expect he's still bound to Taken.
Right. I don't know. Like, so there's Matchroom and Queensberry are the ones that seem to have their name on everything, right?
Yeah, right now, yeah.
One of those two, probably, right? You don't want to sign with Top Rank unless they announce something big real soon.
Yeah, they need a network. They need to land on a network fucking fast.
Yeah. Somebody was talking about how the Paramount stuff might be why they haven't, like, who bought Paramount recently?
I think that, no, Netflix bought Warner Brothers.
Which might also include Paramount?
It might.
Anyway, somebody in Discord was talking about how that might be why Top Rank hasn't announced anything.
Skydance Media bought Paramount.
Okay. I don't know. Top Rank needs a fucking home soon.
Yeah.
I need to know who to buy a subscription for when I get back to Canada.
Right. Like, right now I can let my ESPN lapse because they don't have Top Rank or UFC anymore. So
fuck them.
Yep. Don't need them. But yeah, this is one to keep an eye on. What about PBC? I mean...
Oh, I totally forgot they exist.
Yeah, I kind of did too, because they only do like 4 shows a year.
Yeah.
Not quite at where they were a few years ago when they had spots all over the place.
But they have the potential to like get back there. They still have lots of...
They have a big stable.
People.
Still. Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently the deal with Prime Video is real.
PBC and Prime?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a matter of them doing like non-pay-per-view shows, like the developmental stuff where you have your prospects. That kind of footprint. It's non-existent.
Yeah. It kind of seems like everybody has no idea what to do with those guys right now. Because everybody wants to be on these big streaming services, but they don't want to show any non-pay-per-view fights.
Yeah.
So.
But. We'll be watching Bam with great interest.
Yeah, I'll watch Bam wherever the fuck he goes. So, it doesn't matter to me.
Patty Donovan versus Liam Paro is off. This was going to be on, I believe, the 16th, a No Limit boxing card in Australia. I think this was the co-main to Nikita Zhu versus Michael Zarafa.
Yeah. What happened? Did it say?
Patty Donovan got sick. No, I didn't see exactly what happened, but...
He must have got pretty sick if they canceled weeks out like that.
Right.
Ah.
COVID.
That's too bad. Yeah. I can't find anything that says, it just says illness. But, I mean, it has to be something fairly serious. If it was like a flu or something, he'd probably just go through it, right?
Right. I would expect he would, but, well, who knows?
Yeah, it all just keeps saying illness. I wonder if he got, like, rhabdo or one of those. I mean, it happens.
Is having a herpes flare up?
Yeah, let's go with that one.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Patty, until you you got to come out and air the laundry, dog. Yeah. Otherwise, we're going with herpes flare up.
It's got to be a pretty bad herpes flare up, too.
Oh, that's the type of shit that gets people in trouble, saying stuff like that.
People would have to hear you say it first. Yeah. Nobody listens to us.
Yeah, that's right. Somehow, some way, this has to make its way to Patty Donovan's ears.
So he could sue us, and then we'll get in the news, and then people will listen to us.
Yep.
It's all a marketing ploy.
The big one, gonna jump over that really quick to get these other two out of the way. Yep. Renee Taiz misses weight by 0.6.
Yeah, it sounds like the fight's going ahead, but she was also called in on 2 weeks' notice, so you gotta give her a little bit of a, well, no, if you say you're gonna make weight, you have to make weight, but also missing by half a pound on 2 weeks' notice isn't the worst thing fighters have ever done. Yeah, she did make an attempt, but in her, like, 3 hours or whatever, she lost like 0.2 pounds.
Yikes.
So, yeah. But I mean, she's out of her league anyways. This was going to be a run over, and now she's dehydrated. So,
all right.
Maybe go Serrano by knockout in your
pick league
betting days.
Yeah. Tyson Fury's training in Thailand.
I saw three different places had this up when I just searched boxing news. So I'm sure it's all based off the same video, but they've got Tyson Fury hitting the mitts in Thailand.
I don't know why he's in Thailand. I don't know what to do with him. Yeah, why would you? Yeah. Why?
Like, he's not sparring anyone half his size in Thailand.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the fuck.
You're going to have to fly in sparring partners because there's nobody in Thailand that's going to be even close.
Yeah. So this is like super rumors, but there is video of him training in Thailand.
I did see a picture of him in Thailand.
Yeah. But they've got him like working out and stuff on video clips.
I suspect he's there to womanize.
I would also suspect that.
I think that's the training he's doing is horizontal cardio.
How to pick up lady boys?
Yeah. I don't know what else he would be doing there.
Yeah, that his reputation makes me believe that nothing good is happening when right. Tyson Fury is in Thailand.
Yep, I have. Can't help but agree with that.
But if he's even kind of pretending and letting videos leak out and stuff, perhaps he's trying to angle for another comeback. Perhaps he's assuming AJ is not going to fight. Who was AJ fighting? AJ didn't have a fight.
He doesn't have
anything
lined up.
He was trying to get ready for the AJ fight that everybody's been talking about. Which I assume now is derailed as fuck. But
yeah, so that's the point. Last point in the news, AJ's accident, more than certain everyone's heard of it by now. But
yeah.
It was, Who is this? Coyote?
That's the driver. Coyote was the driver. And he's been charged. He's officially been charged. I tried my best to double check this. With causing death by dangerous driving, reckless and negligent driving, driving without due care, and driving without a valid driver's license.
Huh.
So, why the fuck are you putting somebody, like, so rich in a car driven by a dude with no license?
Right. I would imagine they'd have, like, a pro chauffeur.
Yeah, just hire a fucking driver.
Get a local. Somebody yeah. who knows the conditions and everything.
Like, not the victim blame or whatever, but that seems like a dumb choice. So, it's really too bad, the whole accident. But
Saul was of the mind that this is going to break AJ mentally.
AJ does kind of seem like a...
temperamental.
I was going to say sensitive, but I wanted to use a word that was less loaded for boys. But, like, he seems like he does make really close connections with people.
Yeah, the two, like, people that passed away were really close to him.
Yeah. But I don't know if that'll break him or, inspire him to, like, win in their honor.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he'll dive right into training to get his mind off of stuff. Because AJ kind of seems like he might do that. Like, I don't want to think about stuff, so I'll just throw myself into work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I could see it going either way, to be honest. But I want to give AJ the benefit of the doubt and say he's going to try and turn it into inspiration rather than letting it kind of wreck them.
Yeah.
But that's a tough one, because those were two people that have been with him for, like, ever. And I did not look at the videos. I purposefully avoided the fuck out of anything that had pictures or videos of this, but the way people were talking on Discord, that it sounded really gross. And the way they handled it after the accident sounded really gross.
The only videos I've seen were of AJ getting out of the wreck.
I saw a little bit of those pictures. Like I said, I was avoiding videos, but somebody said, like, they pulled the dead bodies out of the car and one of them was missing a head and stuff.
Jesus.
I completely avoided all of that.
So, I don't even have morbid curiosity. I'd rather not see that.
Yeah. So, I don't know, like, depending how much AJ kind of noticed and how much was on his side of the vehicle, like, that would change things too, right?
Yeah, seeing, like, the carnage.
Yeah, or, like, I don't know. I don't know, man. I hope AJ turns it into, like, motivation somehow, but it also wouldn't surprise me if he can't. That looked... sounded fucking horrific, and I saw pictures of the car and it just looked awful.
Well, wishing the best to AJ. Rest in peace to your buddies.
Yeah.
Oh shit. On that somber note, let me throw some notes in here. Fucking social media, LVX Media Net. That's the handle everywhere. If you can't find us, we're not on it. Follow our shit wherever you're listening, leave a rating. It really helps push us up the accursed search algorithm. And if you're feeling a little extra, a review would also be helpful. And if you want written content, Josh's rants in written form, lvxmedia.net. All right. Do you have that nagging feeling of being exposed when you're online? In today's world, a simple antivirus isn't enough. Your digital life, your photos, your bank accounts, your family's privacy, it all needs more than just a basic firewall. You need Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes is your complete shield against the chaos of the internet. The powerful next-generation antivirus instantly quarantines threats, locks down malware before it can do any damage. But it doesn't stop there. It includes an ultra-fast, ultra-private VPN to encrypt your connections, keeping your location and data private while you're on public Wi-Fi. Plus, the integrated ad blocker makes your browsing cleaner and faster. Whether you're protecting your personal machine or securing the whole household, Malwarebytes has a plan for you. Go to lvx.be/mwb to find the subscription that's right for you. Don't wait for the next error message. Take control of your digital peace at lvx.be/mwb.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Dandruff doesn't just affect your hair. It chips away at your confidence. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't have to be this way. It's time to say bye to flakes with Flakes. Flakes isn't a scented wash you get from the grocery store that just masks the problem. It's a powerful, medically formulated treatment designed to get to the root of the toughest dandruff. Flakes works fast to control the flaking, calm the itching, and soothe the redness that's on your scalp. And here's another pro tip. Flakes will also help with that stubborn beard druff if you have that too. Imagine feeling completely free to wear whatever you want, whenever you want to. Imagine just focusing on your day and not on your scalp. That's the difference that Flakes makes. Go to lvx.be/flakes for a nice little discount while you help us out a little bit in the process. Don't settle for temporary fixes that smell like the produce section of your grocery store. Fight back with a shampoo that dermatologists trust. lvx.be/flakes.
All right, let's fucking get into the recap. First things first, for Saturday, December 27th, the promoter's Koki Kameda.
Yeah, the Kameda card.
Very cool.
He had it in Japan and tried to get it to finish just before the Saudi card started. Some actually maybe smart marketing there, because it was not pay-per-view.
Yeah, good tie-in. Let's see what we got on the card. Jonriel Casimero wins by knockout in the fifth. Well, fuck that guy. So,
yeah, he still looks like shit. I don't care. I don't care what anyone says. I don't know who they had him fighting. This kid's 11-5-2.
Tom Mizukoshi.
Yeah. He wasn't very good. This was definitely, we want Casimero to have a win so we can hopefully sell him off to somebody, I think.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Such a piece of shit.
Yeah, hopefully it goes for like the bare minimum.
He must be not live, like, he's living worse than usual. The whites of his eyes were the same color as his skin. I swear to God.
Oh my goodness.
It was bad.
Kenneth Lover, KO2.
Yeah, Lover looked good. I'm still really excited about this kid. I think he's ready to take some maybe step-up fights. I mean, this guy had a positive record, but they can start pushing Kenneth Lover a little more. I think he at no point looked like he even had to think about what he was doing in there.
And the, I think this is the main event, Masamichi Yabuki stops Felix Alvarado in the 12th for the IBF flyweight title.
this was a fucking war. The cards don't make it sound that close, but it was just all action, all punches. Like, people should actually go watch this one. It's worth going and finding. It. I almost thought about adding it to my Fight of the Year contenders. Not winners, but, like, second half of the year, it'd be top five for me, for sure.
Okay. All right.
It's really good. Yabuki's always exciting. He's one of those guys that throws 8 million punches and doesn't have the best defense. One of my favorites. His backstory too, I hadn't really heard it before, but I was at the bar watching this, so the guys were kind of translating a little for me. And he apparently had 300 run-ins with the cops before he took up boxing.
300?
I don't think they were all arrests, but like, he's got 300
encounters.
You were questioned about things with the cops. So he used boxing to really turn his life around, which is kind of fun. I like those stories.
Masamichi.
Yeah. Really good fight, though. Go find it.
So that ended around the time of The Ring 5, Night of the Samurai.
Yeah.
Starting us off, Reito Tsutsumi stopped Leobardo Quintana in 4. Pretty one-sided affair.
I actually didn't watch this one.
One-sided affair, yeah.
I talked him into leaving the Yabuki fight up on the big screen, so I didn't watch Tsutsumi.
Eritson Garcia, he spoils the party. Split decision over Taiga Imanaga.
I thought this was a pretty fun fight. I don't know. Did you see this one?
I don't recall it. I don't have good recollection of it.
I think the split decision was a good, like, a good decision. And the difference was the knockdown. Imanaga got knocked down in the 8th, I think.
That'll do it.
Yeah. I thought it was a pretty fun fight. This one was worth watching. But I have to admit, I don't know who either of these guys are, so.
Do you know who Junto Nakatani is?
I do.
UD over Sebastian Hernandez. I've been seeing a lot of chatter online that people are disappointed with Junto.
I didn't know who Hernandez was. But I said Junto was going to have trouble with a Mexican. Because if Junto doesn't hurt people, he gets frustrated. You saw it in the Nishida fight.
Yes.
Like, so I kind of think I called this one. And I kind of think it was pretty close. Like, Nakatani winning is fine. The 115-113 scorecards are good.
Yes, I agree with that.
But that 118-110 by the Saudi judge is fucking atrocious. But personally, I scored it at home. And I had it Hernandez 115-113. But damn. There were two swing rounds you could give to Nakatani. And I had one other round I marked as swing that I did give to Nakatani, but I thought could have went to Hernandez. So, like, 115-113 I have no problem with. But I don't know if Nakatani should have won that one.
As I watched it a few times, and every time I would just be like, Hernandez is doing more. Like, it's like they were, like, the judges, whoever that 118-110 guy, Nawaf Al-Mohamed or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Were you just not paying attention to body work? Because Sebastian was digging downstairs a lot.
He's a judge from Saudi Arabia. And the BoxRec has him as judging 166 bouts. But they're all in the Middle East. I guess there's a couple in Thailand. But, like, he shouldn't have been judging this.
No.
Is, I think, my takeaway from this. Like, he clearly judged for the guy that he thought Saudi wanted to win, in my opinion. And he clearly wasn't fucking paying attention. Like, 118, 110, Hernandez definitely won more than two rounds. There's no fucking question. And I know Frost on the Discord is always like, oh, well, it's just they can't see and stuff. That is not what happened here. That can't be what happened here. Like, it's Saudi Arabia. They're not that loud. They're not that distracting to the judges. And that fight didn't happen in one area of the ring. Like, that fight moved around.
Right.
But.
The.
But again, I have no problem. I have no problem with Junto winning. But I do think it kind of shows his weaknesses, and I don't think his power carried super well to 122. Like, maybe Hernandez is just fucking hard as a rock too. That's a possibility. He might just have an all-time chin and body.
Could be.
Because he was eating body shots and they sounded hard.
The only possibility that I see is if you have a lot of swing rounds, or if you scored a lot of swing rounds but you just gave them to Nakatani.
I still time, don't think you can give them 10 rounds.
I'm not so sure either. You're right, so Hernandez won more, definitely won more than two rounds convincingly.
I think this is a judge that just didn't have the experience judging at big events. Shouldn't have been on the co-main. Like, yeah, I don't think he should have been doing that.
I would say that we have judged more fights than he has in the last few years. In the last years, I would say so anyway.
Yeah, well, and again, I just, like, this is his first fight that he's judged that has any fucking stars on BoxRec. Most of them have zero stars, some of them have one, some of them have two, but, like, they jumped them to a four star on, like, Saudi pay-per-view. He shouldn't have been there judging. Judging on the card is fine, but he shouldn't have been judging this fight.
Right. I agree with that.
It's not fair to them to put these judges in these positions. And for a little while, I felt they were doing it with the female refs, too. They were throwing female referees on these big cards for diversity. In my opinion, that they weren't really ready to be refereeing the co-main, and then they make mistakes because they don't have the practice. The same thing happens to judges. If you don't have the practice and, like, you get overawed by the occasion. And clearly this guy, in my opinion, was like, oh, Turkey wants Junto to win so that he can fight in a way, so anything that's remotely close and anything I'm not sure about, I'll just give to Junto.
That's what I'm thinking happened.
Yeah, but even so, he still fucked up because Hernandez definitely won more than two rounds. Like, clearly won more than two rounds.
Yeah, definitely.
But I do think it's unfair to put referees like that, because he had, what, 166 fights. This other guy, the next ref, Mike Hale, has 600. So, it's just, I will say, none of these refs are refs I recognize. Like, who is Gary
Kitanowski? 625 fights under his belt, though.
And he at least has a couple, like, he did the Benavidez Yard. But that's what I mean. The other guys have three times as many fights. 400 more fights. Like,
it's a lot. It's a lot of experience that he's lacking.
Yeah. Anyways, I think Hernandez surprised fucking everybody. Surprised me.
Yeah, I think he's going to be able to leverage this to get himself back onto bigger cards.
Well, and I'm kind of happy for him, because he's got a super sad backstory, too. He just had a child that was born with some health problems, and so, like, he's going to need some money.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. A lot of people are saying that this makes the Nakatani Inoue fight less exciting. I don't give a shit. Nakatani could have fucking lost, and I still want to see those two fight next. But I'm possibly more invested in that happening early next year than other people are.
Maybe. I do feel a little not quite as excited for Inoue Nakatani as I was. Still excited for it, yes, but not quite as much.
See, I kind of thought this was... This doesn't change how I rated Nakatani, I guess. And maybe that's the difference. Hmm. I saw this coming when he moved up. I did not expect Hernandez to be the one to showcase it, but... Yeah, I don't care. I want to see Nakatani Inoue. It does not matter.
Speaking of which, Naoya Inoue fucking sweeps, practically sweeps, Alan Picasso. He did have a sweep card, a 119-109, and then a 117-111. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Oh, guess how many fights this guy has judged?
Oh, I was already looking, so...
82? 82 is not enough to be judging an Inoue fight.
An undisputed fucking fight? Yeah, that's not acceptable.
Steve Weisfeld probably has 1,000 fights. I've never actually looked at him.
3,207.
Yeah. So, like, can't blame anything he fucks up on lack of experience, but...
The other dude has 181.
I don't like it. I know I always complain that we always have the same 5 judges, but there has to be something in the middle there.
Right.
There's something between 3,000 and 200. Like... Anyways, Inoue looked really good.
Did Picasso surprise you at any point? I thought he would have gotten taken out. So to be able to go the distance was pretty cool.
I was a little surprised that he didn't try to win.
Yeah.
There was a whole lot of shelling up, I thought. Like... I don't know. I'm not saying Inoue carried him or anything, but I think Picasso went into survival mode.
Pretty much from the onset?
Yeah. I don't know about from the onset, but it didn't feel like he was trying to win. I don't know. This was kind of what I was expecting. I'm a little disappointed Inoue didn't get the knockout, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, especially when you're fighting to survive. That's your plan or your strategy.
Well, and Inoue's been talking a lot about being more defensively responsible and stuff, which obviously is going to mean he doesn't open up as much. And he still got fucking flush shotted with left hooks anyways, but Picasso had no power on them. Like, did you see that one? It just looked like a bitch slap. There's a really good gif out there where Inoue does the thing where he dropped his right hand and Picasso just like slaps him. There's no power behind it at all. But somebody with power would have probably knocked him down again.
You think Junto Nakatani with like an overhand left could knock him down?
I think Nakatani could knock him down. I think Inoue has the best fight of his fucking life against Nakatani. I don't think Inoue's gonna... He's not gonna be too excited. He's gonna be so fucking locked in, it doesn't happen. And as much as Junto, like... I think he'll be nervous. I think he'll be more nervous than Inoue.
I can't imagine that Inoue would be nervous. He's had a lot of, like, big fights already.
That's what I mean. But, like, Junto hasn't really.
No.
He hasn't had very many big fights. He's looked really good in all his fights, but he hasn't had very many big fights. And this last one being not so great, I could see him being really nervous if Inoue's next.
Is his biggest fight Andrew Maloney?
Yeah. It's either Maloney or Nishida, but I think I'm the only one who rates Nishida higher, so.
Yeah, Nishida was a good one.
But, like, the rest of them are, they're not bad names. It's not like he's got a completely shit resume, but he hasn't had, like, the Neary fight or the Fulton fight or, you know.
Yeah, Ramon Cardenas. Small, it had a high profile on the event, even though the Ramon Cardenas was a relatively unknown opponent.
Yeah, I don't think I would say Cardenas was as big, as much pressure. But like, well, the Donaire rematch was big, even though it turned out not to be. Fulton, Neary, like, I think those were big events with a lot of pressure. MJ was a big event with a lot of pressure. Like, a lot of people were saying MJ was going to be the one to knock Inoue out.
Really?
A lot of people.
Wow. That's silly.
He's got power.
Kinda, yeah.
The haters are gonna hate. I don't know. I think this is gonna make Nakatani nervous. But I still want to see it. I still want it to happen in May. Because I'm an idiot. I thought my visa was till the end of August, but it's till the end of July. So I gotta be out August 1st. So it has to happen before then.
I expect it will.
It should. Yeah. May would be perfect. I want this during May. I want it to be fucking huge, and I want Inoue to knock Nakatani out. That's what I want.
Picasso versus Hernandez. I think that would be a
Hernandez good wins.
I think so too.
I think.
No power, Picasso.
I mean, I think Picasso probably goes back up if he keeps fighting.
Oh, back to 126?
Yeah. He's been there most of the last, what, year and a half?
I believe so, yeah. Three of kind his of last up. Four.
Yeah. He's kind of been at 126 off and on for his whole career. He kind of floats between the two. I don't rate Picasso very much anyways. I honestly don't really care what he does next. If he takes this as his big payday and goes and finishes his neuroscience or whatever the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, that's what they were saying on the broadcast. Neuroscience degree.
Yeah. Which is impressive, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, I think you have to pick one, don't you?
Being a neuroscientist versus boxing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I expect that someone who studies brains is gonna not want to have theirs pummeled.
Well, it's not even just that. I can't imagine the time it takes to do both. Like, attend class and train for boxing.
And Manny Pacquiao managed to be a senator and still box.
Manny Pacquiao didn't do shit as a senator.
Anything more for Knight of the Samurai?
No. I want Nakatani versus Inoue next, and I think this whole thing was stupid and they should stop making these setup fights. Because Junto almost blew it.
He did.
I want no more setup fights.
Well, word on the street is that there's going to be a setup fight for AJ and Tyson Fury. They're going to have...
That's a little different because they've both kind of been out of the ring forever.
Yeah.
That one I don't mind. Just okay. Can I still do it fight. I think that's a little different scenario.
All right.
That and honestly, sense. I don't 100% hate this because Nakatani's never fought at 122. But you gotta stop putting them on the same card at the very least. I hate it. Honestly, if I was Nakatani, I would have just gone up. If you lose, you lost to the very best jumping up weight. It does nothing for, like, to bother your reputation, really.
Right. The chasing greatness or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then this really kind of hurt Nakatani's reputation. People have been
down
talking.
On Nakatani, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think that's fair. I just think this was a harder opponent than they thought. Number one. And number two, it's somebody who's a bad style for Nakatani. Like, I know he trains in America, but that doesn't make him good at fighting Mexicans.
Right. Yeah. Like,
people pretend it does, but a tough pressure fighter was always going to be bad for Nakatani. Super fun fight, though. Like, to watch. That did get added to my potential fight of the year list.
Coming up this week, two cards on the 10th. First is Queensberry in Germany. This will be on DAZN. More than a handful of fights on here. The only two I'm paying attention to are Agit Kabayel, the interim WBC heavyweight champion, versus Damian Kanaiba, I think it is. Naiba. And then co-main, I believe it is, the interim WBC lightweight title, Javier Herrera versus Ricardo Nunez.
We saw Naiba recently on a card, didn't we?
Yes, we have. He fought Joey DeWedgeco.
Which is not a great name, don't get me wrong. But this could be a sneaky good fight. Naiba looked good, I thought. Especially for a heavyweight. But he was fighting a nobody, so who knows. But This could turn out to be better than it looks on paper.
I'm honestly expecting Caballero to kind of style on him.
I know that's what everybody's expecting, and it might happen. But this could turn into an actual fight. Naiba had a jab, and he looked pretty good to me. Or he could have been styling on a nobody that doesn't translate to somebody who can actually box. Those are the two options. But
and the other card, Fresh Promotions. This is going to be pay-per-view.com. Priced $55 in the US.
That's a lot.
It is. Yeah, but they don't have any other, I don't know, revenue stream.
Yeah, I get that. $55 is a lot.
It is.
To me.
On this card.
Sorry.
Former IBF bantamweight champion Emmanuel Rodriguez is fighting Fernando Diaz.
I don't know Fernando Diaz, do you?
No, I don't.
I don't really recognize any names on his box rec either. I suspect Rodriguez should win this. I think.
I do too.
He's the one that Inoue got the really nice knockout against, right? The body knockout?
Yes, in the WB World Boxing Super Series or whatever.
Yeah, we're calling it. That's one of my favorites. The absolute, like, the look on his face as he shakes his head at the corner. Fucking love it.
Not much else on the undercard. I'm expecting these are all just fresh promotions, prospects. They're based out of Puerto Rico, so, yeah.
These guys are all Puerto Ricans.
Subriel Matias, the WBC 140 champ versus Dalton Smith, the number one contender.
I don't know what to make of this fight. Like,
I don't rate Dalton Smith, so I'm not expecting much.
Fair enough, I guess. But Subriel Matias has bad nights.
Yes. He can be off.
But he usually loses to, like, boxers. I don't think I would call Dalton Smith a boxer.
Yeah, stylistically, I don't expect Dalton Smith to avoid the danger that Matias presents.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'm kind of leaning towards Matias, too. But, I mean, the last time he fought in Puerto Rico, he kind of blew it.
Well, he's not going to be at home this time. Well, Brooklyn, I believe they call it like it's like Puerto Rico Part 2 or something, like the second.
The New Yorkians?
Yes.
Yeah. That's true. I guess he hasn't lost in America. Or has he? Yes, he did. He lost to Ananyan way back.
Oh, yeah. Then he came back. The rematch, he just obliterated him.
Yeah. Anyways, I suspect Dalton Smith is just going to get beat up.
Unfortunately.
I don't know if I really want to pay $55 to watch it.
I don't either. That's it, though. That's all we got coming up. The month gets better. A lot better. But this is part of the slow ramping up for the new year.
Yeah, but, I mean, that happens every year.
Yeah.
I do feel like lately either there's more fights that I'm excited for in general, or they're spreading them out a little better. The last year, like 2025, there was pretty big fights almost every month.
I would say they were spread out better.
Yeah.
Let me do this. What if your best thinking day wasn't a lucky accident? What if you could access that clarity, that sharp focus, that feeling of being completely on whenever you need it? We live in a world of distraction where mental fog can settle in before noon. You need a natural edge, a simple way to clear the noise and elevate your mind. Introducing psilocybin, the daily supplement powered by extraordinary magic mushrooms. For centuries, these mushrooms have been revered for the unique compounds that support brain health in very groovy ways. Psilocybin has harnessed that power, making it easy to integrate it into your daily routine. When you take psilocybin, you're not getting a jolt of caffeine or a rush of sugar. You're nurturing your mind's long-term health and inner tranquility. Experience better focus for complex tasks, sharper memory recall, or a consistent, calmer energy throughout the day. Whatever you need, psilocybin has a supplement for you. Ready to cut through the mental clutter? Are you ready to tap into your highest potential? Go to lvx.be/soul. That's lvx.be/soul. Get yourself a nice discount while helping us out while you're at it. Unlock your mind's clarity with psilocybin.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Look around you. The food on your plate, the plants in the garden, they all depend on one tiny little hero, the honeybee. But bees are struggling, and the health of our planet is at stake, not to mention a third of what's on our dinner plate. Project Honeybee steps in with the belief that saving the bees can start with something beautiful. With a catalog of stunning bee-themed jewelry, necklaces, earrings, and charms that capture the spirit of the hive. When you wear a piece from Project Honeybees, you're not just wearing art, you're wearing your commitment to the buzzing buddies. Every single purchase directly funds conservation efforts, creating safe bee habitats, sponsoring research, and educating communities. It's beautiful jewelry with a purpose. Go to lvx.be/bees to get yourself a nice little discount and help us out in the process. Make an impact and look incredible while doing it. Find your next piece today at lvx.be/bees. Wear the change. Buzz, buzz, bitch.
All right. I want your spiciest takes. 833-589-7637. Hit me up in WhatsApp. Or if you want to chat with us directly, lvx.be/discord. And if you want fucking ad-free stuff, lvx.be/patreon. All right. Parting words.
Parting words. I don't really subscribe to the new year, new me bullshit very much. But I do have one resolution this year. And I'm going to actually try and keep a diary this year. Because I started one last year and it lasted like 2 weeks. But...
2 weeks.
It's probably the best I've done ever is 2 weeks. But I'm going to write at least 2 sentences every day of something I did.
I hear for some people bullet journaling makes it easier. Because you're not trying to write complete sentences. Just writing fragments of thoughts.
Yeah, that for me, it's just actually writing anything.
Yeah.
I just don't do it.
Picking up the pen.
Yeah. That's my New Year's resolution, and I already haven't done it yet. So. I did buy the book, though. So.
Well,
step one is complete.
Never too late to start.
Exactly.
We're only a few days in. No need to...
I could go back.
Yeah. Retroactive.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I don't know if I have any resolutions this year. Not that I thought of, anyway. I don't know. Shrug.
I usually don't do them, but...
Yeah, I don't either. Whenever the... If I get the urge or motivation to do whatever, I'll just do it.
Yeah, you don't need to wait for New Year's.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for this edition of Boxing Before Dark. We'll see you next week.
Bye.